this evening. Amen. You may be seated for a minute here. Truly, I've been so overwhelmed by your love and by your kindness and your hospitality. I truly have been overwhelmed. My husband and I, last night, were just reflecting on how beautifully you've treated us this weekend, above and beyond. And so truly, we're so blessed. And I know that he left really blessed today, but he left really exhausted. I want you to know that he preached his heart out and he left super duper exhausted, if that's such a word. Okay, he went there. You guys took him to the fifth level. But, you know, we love the opportunity to be able just to come and to be a part of our family. You know, we love traveling. Let me take that back. You know, we have the opportunity to go, and sometimes it's very exhausting. But we love being with friends. And Danny and Barbara are truly our friends. And we have such a great time together. And I just thank God for your friendship and your love and this church. Amen. You guys have great pastors. Amen. We've had such a great time all weekend. But I'm so blessed that I have my mom here tonight. Yeah. Sophie. Her name is Sophie Escobel. To me, mom. Mama. And my beautiful sister, Carla. Amen. And true examples. My mom is truly an example of a strong woman of God. And we've seen her face many challenges and battles in life. And we've never seen her waver in her walk with God. Never. I can look back in all the years that I have known the Lord myself, I've never seen her quit. And I've never seen her turn back. I've seen her faithfully serve the Lord no matter the challenges that she has faced in life personally. And with us as children, right? There's seven of us. So there were some big challenges there, right? I have five brothers and I have one sister. And so can you imagine seven in the house? We were not an easy bunch. But then also my sister Carla, she's also a pastor's wife with the Assemblies of God. Amen. She's powerful and they have a beautiful church there in Estancia, New Mexico. And so I'm surrounded by godly women. And amen. I not only have my founder, pastor's wife, Sister Julie, but I have my mother, I have my sister, and truly blessed. You know, I'm really, really blessed. I have so much support and love. It's just so beautiful to be able to be surrounded by women of God. Amen. And most of all, I truly thank my Lord and Savior. I thank God for his keeping power over my life. I've been saved for probably maybe 40 plus years. And I'm only 41, so it's like I got saved when I was just a tiny little tot. No. The Lord is, I am a testimony of God's keeping power. God has kept me. And I am truly, that's my testimony, that God has kept me. And we have been pastoring for over 37 years, and it's been a long journey, and God has kept us. And it's just been a beautiful, beautiful journey that God has taken us on. It's not a good life. It's a great life. And I have a great life. And so I thank God for that. Amen. So if you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. And when I was on my way to Albuquerque, I already had my message when Sister Barbara asked me, I already had this message already on my iPad, and I was ready to give this one. And when we were flying in the air, I had no peace about it. So I changed it. What's today? It's Monday. So I'm like, okay, when did I get here? Friday? Okay, on the plane, on the way over here, that's when the Lord changed it. And so I had to study and get ready for it. But it's something that the Lord has truly placed upon my heart, and I pray that you are blessed with this. Amen? 2 Samuel 21 says there was a famine during David's reign that lasted for 3 years. So David asked the Lord about it, and the Lord said, the famine has come because Saul and his family are guilty of murdering the Gibeonites. So the king summoned the Gibeonites, and they were not part of Israel, but were all that was left of the nation of the Amorites. The people of Israel had sworn not to kill them. But Saul, in his zeal for Israel and Judah, had tried to wipe them all out. And David asked them, what can I do for you? How can I make amends so that you will bless the Lord's people again? Well, money can't settle this matter between us and the family of Saul. The Gibeonites replied, neither can we demand the life of anyone in Israel. What can I do then? David asked. Just tell me and I will do it for you. Then they replied, it was Saul who planned to destroy us, to keep us from having any place at all in the territory of Israel. So let 7 of Saul's sons be handed over to us, and we will execute them before the Lord at Gibeon on the mountain of the Lord. All right, said the king. The king said, I will do it. The king spared Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who was Saul's grandson because of the oath David and Jonathan had swore before the Lord. But he gave them Saul's 2 sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth, whose mother was Rizpah. There was two Mephibosheths, whose mother was Rizpah, daughter of Ai. He also gave them the 5 sons of Saul's daughter Merab, the wife of Adriel, son of the Barsillia from Meholia. The men of Gibeon executed them on the mountain before the Lord. So all 7 of them died at the beginning of the barley harvest. Then Rizpah, daughter of Aiah, the mother of 2 of the men, spread burlap on a rock and stayed there the entire harvest season. She prevented the scavenger birds from tearing at their bodies during the day and stopped wild animals from eating them at night. And when David learned what Rizpah, Saul's concubine, had done, he went to the people of Jabez, Gilead, and retrieved the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan. And when the Philistines had killed Saul and Jonathan on Mount Gibeah, the people of Jabesh Gilead stole their bodies from the public square of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hung them. So David obtained the bones of Saul and Jonathan, as well as the bones of the men of the Gibeonites had executed. Then the king ordered that they bury the bones in the tomb of Kish, Saul's father, at the town of Zilat in the land of Benjamin. After that, God ended the famine in the land. Pray with me right now. Father, we just come before you. And I thank you for this privilege, this opportunity that I have to be able to speak your word tonight and to share what you have given me tonight for this time, for these women, Lord. And I pray that your hand would be upon my heart, upon my life, God, your anointing as it flows from me, Father. I pray this in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would truly open up the hearts of your women, God. They are truly beautifully and wonderfully made, and you have chosen them, Lord. And I pray tonight, my God, that this will be the year, Lord, a year, God, of truly that you will do a great work within their lives. It will not be an ordinary life this coming year, but we will be women, my God, that are filled with your power, your anointing, to do the great work that you have called us to do, Lord God. I pray, my God, in the name of Jesus, that you would move in this room tonight, God. I pray, God, that your hand would be upon each and every woman that is here. And we thank you, Father, and we love you tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I read the whole thing because I'm going to go back and forth to it, but I don't want to be reading it to you, so I read the whole thing. But here I want to talk to you about a woman named Rizpah. How many of you ever heard of her, Rizpah? Like 1, 2. Oh, my gosh. This is to me, is probably one of the most beautiful stories, tragic stories, but a beautiful story of a woman that was supposedly had such an insignificant character. She was a concubine. She had very little status, nor influential power of any kind. And though she was very insignificant in status, she proved to be the focus of a defining moment in the life of God's people. And don't you want to be that? Do you want to be somebody who's ordinary, or do you want to be somebody who's unordinary? You want to be someone who stands out in the crowd, not someone who's going to blend in, but someone, even though someone or society may say that you are insignificant, they may say that you have no status, that you have no influential power, but I want you to know that God has truly chosen women to rise up in this day and hour. And I believe when I got saved, when I gave my life to the Lord at the age of 13 years old, I just told you how old I was, didn't I? Oh, man. No. But at the age of 13, I remember being broken at that altar. I remember hearing a song that I had never heard before. Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. How many know that song? What a beautiful song. I'd never heard that song before. But when I heard that song, I remember melting at that altar. I think I was there for like a couple of hours, just breaking before God because I had never experienced the presence of God like that. But when I did, I felt something come over my life. And I knew from that moment on, I had no idea the plan that God had for me, but I knew that I was not going to be ordinary. I knew that God had a special plan for my life. And here this woman was going to be used in such a powerful way. There was a famine in the land for over 3 years. There had been no rain, so therefore there was no crops. And King David, here we can read in that in 2 Samuel, he began to ask of the Lord, what is it? What's wrong? What's going on, God? Why is there such a famine? Why are we cursed? And so he began to ask and inquire of the Lord. And the Lord revealed to David, he told him, because of what had taken place with the Gibeonites, that the King Saul had killed off most of the Gibeonites, even though there had been a peace treaty between them and Israel for over 400 years. So when David came and he asked the Gibeonites, what can I do for you? How can I make amends? How can I make it right? And that's how they came up with, we want to take seven of Saul's sons. Two of them were his sons, and the five of them were his grandsons. So they were young men. So these young men were paying for the sins of their father. Thank God that we live in grace. Amen. That we are not paying for the sins of our fathers or our forefathers, or your children are not paying for the sins of your life. Thank God that we live in a time of grace and God's forgiveness. But here, the Gibeonites wanted revenge. But I want to talk to you about this woman named Rizpah. There was three things that I want to bring out tonight about her. She knew when this was going to take place, she knew that she couldn't control what was going to happen. She knew that her sons had not sinned, but she knew that there was nothing that she could do about it. Usually when someone was executed or simply died, they would be given a proper burial by the next day. So she was traumatized of what was going to take place at this time. She saw that her sons and these grandsons of Saul were going to be executed, and there was nothing that she could do about it. Have you ever been at that place when you're like, there is nothing that you could do about the situation that is taking place? And that's the way Rizpah was. She knew there was absolutely nothing that could take place at this moment. And here, I want you to, this first picture of Rizpah. Here she is. So if you can picture this in this scene that had been taking place, here they are. They were executed, and then they were put on a post, and they were going to be left there. And she didn't know for how long. But yet in those days, if you were executed, normally they take you off the very next day, and then they bury you. But here, because they wanted to make a statement, and they wanted to make sure that the Gibeonites had, like, revenge, so they left them there. So here's Rizpah, a mother that is broken, a mother that is beyond herself, thinking, what could I do? And knowing there was absolutely nothing that she could do at this moment. So what she did, she said, I'm not going to leave my sons. I will stand by my sons, even though they were dead. She brought a sackcloth. You can see she brought a sackcloth, and she pitched it in front of them, and she lay there until her sons were going to be brought down. See, the sackcloth represented a repentance. And the rock that she put the sackcloth in represented, it was a rock, it represented God. And so here's Rizpah at this time in her life thinking, there's nothing that I can do for my sons at this point. But yet here I am. I am going to stand for my children. I am going to come to this place and begin to just sit here, whatever it's going to take. And she began to seek the face of God. And she began to pour her heart out to the Lord. And if you can imagine the pain that was entering into her mind, seeing her sons' bodies and the grandsons of their bodies beginning to decay. And there's nothing that she could absolutely do. You know, there's seasons in our life when there's nothing that we can do. It's out of our hands. And it's out of all our control. And all we can do is come to that place. And it feels like your hands are tied. How many of you are women that you like to fix things, right? You want to fix your children? Mm-hmm. You want to fix your husband? Yeah. You even want to fix your finances so you find other ways to make money. There's so many things sometimes that is out of our control. And because we have that nature inside, we want to misfix it, right? But we come to this place just like Rizpah. There was absolutely nothing she could do. So here she is in front of the feet of her sons. And she begins to cry out to God. And I want you to know that this is the season that we have to be those kinds of women. That we make a stand and that we begin to fight for our children. Even though it seems that they're drifting further away. How many of you that's happened? You see your children and you see them drifting even farther away. And it's out of your control. It feels like your hands are tied. Feels like your feet are tied. Feels like every time you do say something, it's worse. So you come to that place. And I can't imagine the heartache and the pain that was taking place in the heart of Rizpah. And there's seasons in our life that there's nothing we can do. Maybe you're fighting for your health. Maybe even your sickness is getting worse. You're fighting for your marriage and you feel like there's no mending. There's no fixing it. There's no mending your financial situations. Sometimes this last year, I remember this a few months ago, I took a walk and I have these beautiful trails in my backyard. And I took a walk and I said, God, we have been fighting for our city for over 20 some years, 21 years to be exact. And I said, Lord, I was having one of those heart-to-heart talks with God. Have you had one of those heart-to-heart talks with God? I think Rizpah was having a heart-to-heart talk with God at that moment, saying, you know what, I don't understand this. I can't figure this out. Why? My sons are innocent. These aren't their sins. This is their father's sin. And I remember going to that place and taking that walk, and I'm hoping nobody heard me because they might have committed me at that moment. But I'm saying, God, we have been toiling in this city for so many years. I need to see a breakthrough. I need to begin to see, God, that your word says that you are the one that builds the church. You're the one that builds the house. And so I began to have this heart-to-heart talk with God because I felt like, Lord, we've done everything we possibly could, and we're not seeing the results that we desire to see. And I'm sure Rizpah was at that moment saying, you know what, I'm not seeing what I need to see. God, why aren't they coming down? It took 5 months. Can you imagine? She sat at that rock for over 5 months, watching her children decay in front of her eyes. Can you imagine the stench that was taking place? Now remember, it hadn't rained in over 3 years, so it was like the desert. They were experiencing a drought, so it was hot. It was an ugly season in that time, and there was nothing that she could do. But here she was on that rock, putting that sackcloth and sitting there. And you and I have to come to that place where you realize that we have to be that kind of woman that casts our burden upon the Lord and know that He will sustain you. The Word says that He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. And I came back from my prayer walk and I said, God, I don't want to be a woman who's tossed to and fro. I don't want to be a woman, no matter what I see, no matter what takes place. I want to be a woman that is solid in my walk with You. I want to be in my right mind. Are you feel like sometimes you're going crazy? Has that ever happened to you or just me? Our emotions go all over the place. You know, we're good one minute and good, not good the next. But I want you to know that the world needs a woman who is solid, a woman who knows that she has a God that loves her, a God that cares about her and cares about your needs, cares about your situations, cares about your heartache, cares about your pain, cares about those situations in your life. He knows that you're struggling. He knows that your children are lost. He knows that you are in heartache and in pain. But I want you to know that we have to be that woman that is broken before God, because the Bible tells us that a broken and a contrite spirit, He will not despise. And that's the kind of woman that we need to be. So many times this world tells you other things. The world tells you need counseling. The world tells you that you need to call somebody up and you need to call 911. You know, sometimes the world will tell you that this is the fix. This is the answer. This is the situation. But I want you to know we have to come to a place where we are solid in our walk with God. And the one thing that we need is simply Jesus. And I look at Rizpah and she never left that site. She didn't go nowhere. She stayed there until God intervened in that situation. And you and I have to come to that place where we stay put no matter how long it takes. Sometimes we get out of our prayer closet and we're only there 5 minutes. We're only there 10 minutes. We're not disciplined. But God wants to bring women that come to the feet of Jesus. And we stay there and we're broken before God until we know that God is answering our prayers and that God is hearing us. We become so busy in this life. How many are busy bees? Oh my God. How many of you sometimes you're going to get ready for prayer? If you have like the personality I have, like I have a touch of OCD. Okay. I'm melancholy. And so I come to sometimes a place where it's like, I want to get into my prayer closet, but then I'm like, oh, I better make my bed first, you know? And then does that happen to you? Oh, my gosh. And then I think, I'll take that load, and then while I'm down there, I'll bring a cup of coffee back up. But I end up staying. Does that happen to anybody? Yes. Oh, my God. And then we begin to get so distracted. And it doesn't take much, right? It doesn't take much. But I believe that God is calling us to the deep. He's calling us deeper. And in this walk, that in the day that we live in, we need to be women that are deep in our prayer with God, seeking God like never before. Another thing that I saw, that she was a woman who was very courageous. She fought all the elements. She was a woman of courage. Now, 5 months, she fought for her sons. And she watched over the decaying bodies of her sons. Day and night she fought in the scorching sun. I want you to put up this next picture. And here, I think this is what got me the most. She had to begin to fight off the animals. She did not want the animals or the birds to pick at their bodies, because she wanted them to be honored and she wanted them to have a burial. So I can imagine during the day, as the buzzards were coming by and the birds were coming by, she had to have been going like this, shooing off all the birds, shooing off all the buzzards, the flies, all the different things. Can you imagine she began to do that? And at nighttime, she had a torch with a fire on it to fight off the wild animals. You know what? Sometimes we come to that place and we grow weary and we get tired. We give up praying. But here she was for 5 whole months, day and night. She began to fight off those things that the enemy would want to come and destroy. And you and I have to come to that place where we begin to fight like never before. You and I have to have that fighting spirit. What happens to us? You say you were a fighter in the world. What happened to us? We need to be women that are fighters. We have to be that woman that is not afraid of the elements that you're facing. You've got to be that woman who's like a mad woman. She was like a mad woman. She looked scary. Can you imagine? She hadn't bathed in 5 months. Her hair was probably black at one time, and now it's white, you know, and gray and matted and all tore up. She hadn't bathed. She probably didn't smell good, didn't look good, probably hadn't eaten very much, but she was determined. She said, you know what, I am not going to let my sons be eaten by those things because I want them to have a burial. I want them to be honored. And so here she was fighting off every lie of the enemy, fighting every demon that would want to come by, fighting off those things and recognizing the lies of the enemy. You and I, as women of God, we need to recognize the lies of the enemy when he comes and he says, you know what, you're too tired. Lay down. You know what, you're too tired. That's enough. You've been at church all week long. You've been here all weekend long for Summit. That's enough. You need a break. You need a little time off. You need a little R&R. But I want you to know in this life, in this season, in this time, that you and I are fighting bigger devils. You and I are fighting bigger demons. And you and I have to come to a place and say, not on my watch. I heard so many different stories about here, especially in New Mexico, that little 13-year-old that was beaten to death by a mother and a stepfather and an older brother. Beaten and then wrapped up in plastic and buried in the backyard. A 13-year-old. What a lie of the enemy. That should stir your heart and say, no, not on my watch. How dare you, Satan? You're not going to take another child. You're not going to take another son. I'm not going to let you do that anymore. And you have to begin to fight and come against every lie and every demon and every devil in this city in the name of Jesus. What an evil spirit that has overcome this city. And there has to be a fight. You have to be that woman that says, you know what, Albuquerque, New Mexico belongs to God. Hallelujah. He didn't give you this beautiful facility so you could have a tea party. No, he brought you this beautiful facility so you could fill it up with hurting people, with women that are lost, with women that have no hope. When women think that the only answer is to destroy their own children. No. You have to look. Don't be afraid to look like a mad woman. If you need to walk down Central and say, I don't care. I come against those evil spirits right now in the name of Jesus. I come against that witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I don't care if you look like a mad woman. You need to begin to pray for your city. You need to begin to pray that God would raise you up. Who is he going to raise up? If not you, you have to raise up. God is calling you to become Rispas and to not be afraid. Be that woman. You rise up with inside of you. She refused. She refused for her sons to be eaten up. She refused. I want you to know that fear will come and try to immobilize you. Fear will make you stop in your tracks and say, you know what, I've had enough. And she could have stopped. She could have said, you know, what am I doing? They're gone. They're not alive. They're dead. She could have said, you know what, this is crazy. Who cares? Nobody's here with me. Nobody cares about what's going on. She could have left and said, and nobody probably would have thought any less of her. Sometimes we have to come to that place and understand that the enemy wants to fill you with fear. And everything sometimes, everything you believe in goes right out the window. Everything you've ever stood for, everything you have proclaimed, everything, every scripture, every word that you have stood on for years. Sometimes when we are faced with those kinds of pains, when we are faced with those kinds of situations, sometimes it's not very hard for people to leave just like that because of the fear that the enemy places inside of you and say, you know what, I was better off. I've heard those words. I was better off. Have you heard those words? I was better off. And sometimes we say those things quietly with inside of us. We don't verbalize them, but we say them up here and even in here. Man, I've gone through too much. This is crazy. I should just live some kind of normal life, go to work, 8 to 5, come home, have my little dinner, watch a little show, and all is well. I believe that's what happened with Job's wife. She was living the high life. She was living good life. But when it was taken all away, do you remember that? When it was taken all away from her, she comes up to Job and says, you've lost everything. Why don't you just curse yourself and die? In other words, she was saying, why don't you just commit suicide? You know, you've lost it all. Why don't you just commit suicide? But here she was. She had been living the high life. And what did Job tell her? What, we serve God only in the good? But he said, no, we serve God even in the bad times. How many of you have faced some bad times? I mean, you have faced some bad times. You have faced maybe bad weeks. Maybe you faced a bad month. Maybe you've even faced a bad year. Maybe you have faced a bad season. I know what it is to face those seasons. And I've heard those words that the enemy would want to come in and say, you know what? Just pack up your little bag and go somewhere. Go live the normal life. Go live where it's easier. Sometimes everything we've ever stood for can easily go out the window when the enemy wants to come in and just take from you what God has given you. There's a song that has always ministered to my life. It's an old hymn. Probably none of you would know it, but Horatio Spafford wrote this. And it's a song that says, all is well with my soul. Yeah. Wish I could sing it right now to you. But I can't. Or I won't. But there's a phrase in there. It says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Do you know the story behind that song? Horatio wrote this song. He was a lawyer in Chicago, and he felt the call of God upon his life, and he said, I want to answer the call. I want to be a missionary. So he gets his wife and his children, and he said, we're going to become missionaries, and we're going to go to the foreign field. And he said, but I've got a lot of work here to attend to. So you guys go on the ship beforehand. And they went on the ship. They went on like a big boat. And anyway, in that boat was his wife and his daughters. And when they got on there, and he stayed back in Chicago, when they got on that ship, on that boat, it was a storm that came. That's why he says, when sorrows like sea billows roll. And everyone drowned. All his daughters drowned on that boat, except his wife. And when she got to land, she texted him. Okay, it's 2018. But she sent a telegraph. She sent a telegraph and said, your daughters have died, but I'm alive. So he still had to go to where she was at. So he gets on another ship, and he goes and he asks the captain, can you show me where it happened? And he takes him to that place right where the ship had gone down and his daughters had drowned. And when he did that, that's how the song was written. And he said, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Like no matter what we face and no matter what we go through, and that's what happened with Rizpah. It's like no matter what she was facing, no matter what she was going through, I want you to know the world needs women that are stable, women that are solid, not women that are wishy-washy, not women that are in one day and out the next, but women that are here this season and they're gone the next, but women that walk with integrity, walk with such character and strength. And I want you to know that God will give you those things. He will become the anchor for your soul. He will keep you. I want you to know he will keep you. Has it been great for me at times? I could give you stories of heartache and pain. But I know we've all faced our own journeys. But I want you to know that God will keep you no matter what you do in this life, no matter where you go, no matter what you face. Maybe you have lost a child. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you have hurt. Maybe you've lost everything financially. It doesn't matter. I want you to know that God will keep you. He will become the anchor of your soul. Just like it was with Rizpah. I believe she came to a place in her life and she said, I don't care. I don't care what I have to do. But I am going to fight for my sons. I am going to fight for my children. I want them to be buried with dignity. I want them to know that they are not the recipients of their father's sin. They're going to be honored. I want you to know that God is faithful to those that are faithful. Lamentations 3 says, yet this I call to mind, therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I want you to know that God truly wants women to know that he will keep you in the midst of whatever you face. And that he will give you the courage to walk this journey. He will give you the courage to walk this journey. It's going to take courage to stand against the lies of the enemy, no matter what you see, no matter what you hear. A faith that will believe in God's promises, to stand and believe, even when there's nothing that you can absolutely do. He will keep you in those moments. He will keep you. And I want you to know I've been through those seasons. In all my 40 plus years of being saved, it didn't just happen in the early years. I faced sometimes those seasons in, you know, last year, you know, a couple years ago. But God has kept me in those times. Her tenacity changed the course of history. See, she moved the heart of a man with power that could do something. She moved the heart of the king. And when the king had heard, when King David had heard that she was there for 5 months, it stirred his heart. And he thought, oh. He'd never inquired of the Lord as to what to do. He had inquired of the Gibeonites what to do. So there could have been something else that took place here. So I think he was moved. David was touched by her love for her sons, and she was finally noticed. But she touched the heart of the king. I want you to know that God keeps track of your sorrows. He's collected your tears in a bottle. Every single one. Some of you might have gallons. Some of you might have jugs. You know, some of you might have tanks. But he's collected every single tear that you have shed. He's recorded each one in his book. In Psalms 31:22, it says, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the sound of my pleading when I cried for help. He hears you. I think of, when I think of Rizpah, when she moved the heart of the king, I want you to know that you moved the heart of the king. Now, you can't call somebody up and say, Linda, will you pray for me? And then you sit there quietly, because I've had people do that. Say, will you pray for me? And I pray this deep, heavy prayer, you know, Shondo and everything. And I'm like, but okay, I want you to pray. Oh, no, but I wanted you to pray. No, I want you to pray. God needs to hear your voice. God needs to hear you. You need to move the heart of the king. And when I heard that, I'm like, Lord, I want to move your heart. I want to touch the heart of my king. I want to touch your heart, God. Lord, your word says that you've collected every tear in a bottle and that you recorded every situation in my life. I want you to know that God wants to hear your voice. Not mine for you. Not your pastor's wife for you. But he wants to hear your voice. The Bible says, because you're like a daughter of the king. You're his special daughter. You're his precious daughter. You know, I recently lost my father. It's been over a little over a year. And it's been a hard year, huh, Mom? And you miss his voice, you know, and he would always such, you know, say those things, mijita, you know, baby girl, you know, he would say, you know, he would say, my real name, okay, my real name is Dolinda. I don't know where it came from, Mom. I should have been a country singer. It's like, Dolinda. My middle name is Lee. So put that Dolinda Lee, right? But he would say, Dolinda, mi linda. You know? And so I know that it's like, oh, man. I know that when my dad would see us, especially his girls, he really had us. He was very loving towards my sister and I. And you know, I know that I moved his heart when I called him. I know that I moved when I came to see him. I know that I touched his heart. So can you imagine how God feels about you? Can you imagine when you come, it's like, oh, there's my daughter. She's crying. I need to go and reach her. I need to touch. She's touching my heart. She's moving me. She moved me. How many times do we move the Lord? We should move the Lord every day, every morning, every hour. We should come and move the heart of the king. And when Rizpah did this, when she moved the heart of the king, he was so compelled that he went and he got Saul's bones and Jonathan's bones that were in the enemy's territory. And he went and he gathered up their bones. And then he gathered up the bones of her sons and her grandsons. And he got them all together. By then, 5 months, there wasn't much left, I'm sure. But nevertheless, he got their bones. And he went and he gave them a burial. And he honored all of them. Because this woman touch the heart of the king. I want you to know that when we touch the heart of the king, he will honor you. He will bless you. I believe more than anything that we have to be a woman that truly comes to a place where we touch the heart of God. That we are a woman that truly seeks God earnestly. That we're not in and out. But that you find that secret place. Are you tired of things being the same way? How many of you want to see change this year? I mean, you truly want to see change this coming year. You want to see breakthroughs. How many of you really want to see breakthroughs this year? How many of you are praying for your children? How many of you are praying for your grandchildren? How many of you are saying, you know what, I've been sick in my body, and the doctors say that I will not get well? How many of you are saying, you know what, I'm tired of barely making it, yet I've been faithful. Yet I've been sowing seed. I want you to know that God wants you to come to this place where you are truly seeking the face of God and nothing is moving you. You're going to stay in that place. You're going to get that sackcloth. You're going to put it on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, and you're not going to be moved by the things of this world. You're not going to be distracted. You're going to stay there and say, because I need breakthroughs. I want you to know, Denver needs breakthroughs. We fight huge devils there. I mean, we're like a new age city and state. We have witchcraft. We have the Satanist churches there, you know, that come against the Christian churches. So we're in a fight. But I'm saying, Lord, this is the year. If I have to stay here for 5 months, if I have to stay in this position, if I have to come to this place and say, I'm not going to be moved, but I want to see the breakthroughs of God over our lives, over our city, over our churches, over our families. And I love what took place here. Because when King David came and he gathered the bones of her sons and Saul's grandsons, and he gathered Jonathan's bones, and he gathered Saul's bones, and he had this beautiful burial for them, and he honored them. When he did that, it began to rain. And the rain began to come, and the curse was lifted off. I want you to know that, you know what, our prayers are not in vain. Don't give up. Fight. Stay put. What are you searching for? What are you praying for? What miracle do you need? I know what miracles I need. I know what I need from God. I know what God needs to do in my walk. Do you know what God needs to do in yours? And I'm like, Lord, I want the rain. I want the rain. But you know what? The rain is not going to come. You know, this little 5-minute prayer stuff, it's not going to happen. We live in a fast food society. You can drive up and even after 2 minutes, you get anxious. Like, hello, I've been here for 2.5 minutes already. I mean, that's the mentality that we have. And sometimes we bring that into the house of the Lord. It's like, man, she sang that song like 5 times. You know? Pastor, did you realize that you preached 47 minutes? You know, we live in such a society that everything is so fast. If anything we need to do is we need to stop. We need to stop. And we want to see breakthroughs, it's going to happen. It's going to come to this place. I need the rain. I don't know about you, but I need the rain. And whatever it's going to take, if I'm going to look like a mad woman wailing down, how many of you need to pray for your city? We need some breakthroughs in this city. I'm going to ask the piano player to come up and maybe the worship team. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a day of vindication for Rispa. Her sons were vindicated. The grandsons of Saul were vindicated. Even Saul and Jonathan were vindicated. There's going to be a day of vindication. There will be a day when God will come through for you. There will be a day when you will see that miracle. when you will see that son, when you will see that daughter, when you will see that grandson and that grandchild, that mother, that father, that husband, those breakthroughs, you will see them. But all we need to be women that don't give up, that we stand there and we fight against the lies and the wiles of the enemy. And we say, that's enough. I don't care what I have to do. I don't care what I have to fight off. But something has to rise up inside of you. And you have to say, no more. I am going to fight every demon in hell. You have to brace yourself. The word of God is like, brace yourself like a man. Gird yourself. And begin to know that God's word is going to see you through. And he will be the anchor. And even though you feel overwhelmed, how many feel overwhelmed by your pain sometimes? You feel overwhelmed. God wants to show you tonight that we're his daughters. And if you want to touch the heart of your king, then this is what you have to do. I want you to stand with me tonight as the worship team begins to sing. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to just really get focused on God as they begin to worship. I want to pray for women tonight that feel like, you know, I'm just so tired. God wants to give you the courage to continue on. God wants to give you the strength to move on and continue on. God wants to begin to give you everything you need to press in even more and to hold on. If that's you, don't fight it. Just surrender tonight what he wants from your life. Hallelujah. 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 Have your way. Hallelujah. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Have your way, Father. Thank you.
no longer.